One of the greatest challenges for the American parent, especially the American mom, is you can't do everything, and yet we seem to try to do everything. We're going to talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we've been talking about the 30 imperatives of parenting. And Dr. Barnes, you actually think there are 30 things that they need to know to be trained up and ready to go, whether that's leaving the home at 18 years old or later.
I think there's probably more, but I think that all of a sudden it can get so voluminous that we're terrified. I think many of these things just clicked into the family of the past and they don't anymore. So what we're really talking about are spending this month on 30 basic things. I will put some of them together, and I'm sure as soon as we're done, and people are already emailing in other alternatives and other options, which is very cool. There are just some things we need to do rather than just drop our children off and keep them busy. There's some very basic things. And as we talked, one of the most basic things is to stop and remind yourself there are some things. Just to stop everything. We get running and we miss it. And then to realize that the core thing, and for me, the core imperative for every child is why. The answer to why. And the answer to why is, why am I here? Who do I serve? When I was a little kid, after my mom died, a lady came and took care of us for a while, a family member, and she was hilarious. She was brutal, and she had this blasphemous saying, and the blasphemous saying she would say all the time is, Bobby, for Christ's sake, what are you doing? And she didn't realize she was right. And it wasn't until later that that thing ringing in my head over and over, I realized that is right. It is for Christ's sake that we're doing things. She just didn't mean it like that, right. But that's exactly right. I was actually glad after I thought about that constantly was ringing in my head. So having a faith in Christ, but then another imperative is being able to do a faith in Christ and be able to walk away from the temptations with understanding the power of no and helping our children deal with impulse control. And then for us as a parent, we're going through some of the imperatives here now, realizing that every child's different. It's not a one size fits all. And realizing your child is going to scream in your face, it's not fair. And we can't get derailed by the phrase, it's not fair, because life isn't fair. Life is life.
Right.
And I think also understanding an imperative is do not allow yourself to become the consequence for unacceptable behavior. When you're yelling and screaming and yanking a child up, then your harshness has become the consequence. Have it be a consequence that the child faces. And then I think a hard thing we talked about last time we were together, one of the two, was that your children need to learn, and sometimes that's by mistake, get out of the way. Get out of the way and let them fail.
And that's hard for parents to do.
It is hard, but it's just postponing failure. And the older you get, the bigger the failures are. A failure at 8 or 10 or 12 is much different than a failure at 28 or 30 or 32. Those are harsh failures. And then we want to raise a responsible child. And one of the imperatives is to give them responsibility. If I want them to be responsible, I have to give them responsibility.
And that takes a little strategy, because you don't just, like, kids don't just get things, don't get responsibility by default.
Chores.
Yeah.
Chores. Give them a chore.
Right.
Hold them accountable for something. And when you don't get the chore done, there's a consequence. When you do get the chore down, we cheer. And parent, don't be so wrapped up in the task that the chore is supposed to be doing. I know that I want my child to empty the dishwasher, but I know that I want all the forks in the exact right place, facing in the exact same direction. Wow.
Yeah.
Don't be task-oriented, be training-oriented. Be parenting.
You know you're going to do the job always better than your kids, but it's not about that. It's about them remembering to do the chore, too. That's what I learned.
It's not even that it's better all the time. It's that it's my way. Of course, my way is always the better way, which is the major marital issue right there. But battling through that, giving them responsibility. Today, we're going to talk about some others. One of the others is the understanding that you cannot do everything. Ruthie, help me understand. You're a mom of four. Help me understand, why is it that moms feel compelled to sign up their children for every conceivable activity?
I think we want, at the core, we do want the best for our kids. But also, at our core, we really get a rush out of being able to do, multitasking to the extreme. There's sort of a pride that comes with that. If I can have my kids and they have great grades and they're polite and they're great at soccer and I look great when I go out on the field.
So this is all about your self-esteem then as a mom.
Sometimes it does come down
So all the things I can sign them up, get them there, do this is about mom's self-esteem, which I don't think many moms listening want to acknowledge that. I think that's one reason. Why else do moms do this? Why do you think?
To do everything.
Why do they sign them up?
I think they don't know what to do with the kids. What do you do? You know, it's either sit in front of the TV or go kick a ball around.
Bob, if I don't sign them up, they'll become vegetables. They'll just sit in front of the television or constantly be on Facebook or constantly
drive me crazy.
Yes, or pulling on me and pulling on me and pulling on me. And so we've taught them not to entertain themselves. And you're not entertaining yourself when you're sitting in front of a television set. Somebody else is still entertaining you.
Right.
And we believe there's a verse, idle hands are the devil's tool. We can't imagine getting them into a hobby. We can't imagine having them learn to do things for themselves. We certainly can't imagine teaching them to read. That's a bizarre thing to have them sit down and read a book. And so we sign them up, and we've got this new category for kids that we didn't used to have called stress, and kids dealing with stress. They didn't used to deal with stress, and yet it seems to me they came home from school in days past, and when I got home off the bus that stopped in front of their farmhouse, because the farmhouses were half a mile apart, mm-hmm. they went in, and I have no clue what you do on the farm. They milk the pig or do whatever it is they did. did something on the farm. Or in the family-owned store, they restocked the shelves. And they exhaled, and they used their hands, but they were with the family, but we were all together. And today, what we've done is it's not just that we've signed them up for everything, but we've pushed them out away from family. Mm-hmm. We've signed them up, and everything we signed them up for is away from us. And we're wondering why the family's getting more difficult, and we're wondering why the child is saying, wow, enough, enough. And we don't know that they're saying that, but they're bogging down, and they get off to college, and they don't have, unless they're a college-level athlete, they don't have something to do every single minute of the day. And so 3 hours worth of classes, and they've got a problem on their hands because they've never dealt with this before.
With boredom.
Yeah.
My mom used to say, well, it's not a sin to be bored when
right.
I used to complain.
That's right. I'm bored. I'm bored. But your mom didn't say, look, let's sign you off for another thing. You're already doing soccer. Let's have you do dance, and let's have you take piano lessons, and then let's get you off to youth group. And we've busied them right past youth group at church because they don't even have time to be active at church.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, though, but I think the next generation, their brains do function a little different, and we can talk about this. Because of the texting and how fast even the cartoons are being presented now, their brains work faster than ours.
Their attention span is shorter.
Right.
That's one thing.
So they get bored faster.
Their attention span is shorter, and we're not teaching them long-term attention span. Marketers know that. They've gone from 1 minute to 30 minute to 15-second hits mm-hmm. on what they're trying to sell and advertise. But many things in life, like marriage, are long-term.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's why also there's a lot of problems with relationships. I mean, there's this instant gratification you get when you are online and it's click and I see a picture and it's not loading up, and why, you know, we get so frustrated when our high-speed 3G phone isn't working right. And the kids are, this is their world. They never had anything different. So here we're raising these kids that have shorter attention spans and are used to instant gratification. And then we want to sit them and say, okay, kids, life isn't like that. And let me tell you what it is. And it'll drive us nuts trying to teach
it
that.
It will
to
drive
them.
Us nuts, but we have to see the need to not continually. And there was a book called Entertaining Your Children to Death. That was an amazing book. We would go on vacations with our kids, and one of the things in the middle of the living room of this little house we stayed in on vacation would always be a jigsaw puzzle. And everybody complained about the jigsaw puzzle every year, and every year a different person, you know, Tori picked out the puzzle 1 year, Roby 1 year, me 1 year. And you would watch us slowly, after a couple of nights, gravitate towards the jigsaw puzzle. No television. We had no television ever on vacation. And our children complained themselves into learning how to read. And we each had a book, and then there would sometimes be a book that I'd read out loud that'd be a hilarious book. But teaching them the journey of being still and know that I'm God, rather than being busy and forget about God, mm-hmm. and helping them learn that is an extremely important task. But if we're not committed to it, if we're not committed to not signing them up for every single thing there is out there, if we're not committed to saying no, we're not going over to so-and-so's house, this is our night home, we're going to mess with our kids. It was Rosemary's birthday that we celebrated Friday night, and everybody, all the families at the house. Rosemary was, you know, obviously me and Roby and Rebecca and Tori and Adam. And we finished and put Reuben to bed and played Pictionary for the next 2 hours. Not Pictionary, played Trivial Pursuit for the next 2 hours. And somebody asked me, I was with somebody on the next day, Saturday, working on a project with him. And he said, did you guys do something special for Rosemary's birthday? And I told him what we did. And I told him we played games. And he said, you mean like the board game, Trivial Pursuit? And I said, yeah, we did that. Asking each other questions, guys against the girls. It was pounding. It was awesome. And laughing, he said, wow, I didn't know anybody did that anymore. Just sat and played board games. And it was fun. I said, it was hilarious. I mean, we were dying laughing. And the girls, they always win. They always know the answers. I don't know how they know the answers. They cheat. They do something.
Well.
But they know that. I just don't know how they always win, but they always win. But in the process, we're doing a relationship. And in the process, nothing else is entertaining us. But I think it's a little easier for my kids because we learned to do that.
Yeah.
And we went through the hard work of doing that. And even when there were other people at our house and other kids over, we did that. And you'd see it was a new experience for them. And we would go sit someplace out on the porch and eat whatever we're eating and engage other kids rather than busy, 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 busy. People, unfortunately, today date doing busy, 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 busy. And and then they get married never knowing each other.
Yeah.
And when they're married, they never know how to get to know each other because they have not stopped. They've mm-hmm. just not stopped and taken a break and decided, you know what? We don't have to turn the TV on. We don't have to watch a blue, whatever it is, or DVD. We can actually be here. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to have our technology. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, but we don't have to have our technology. We can spend time as a family rather than these separate units in the same building.
Okay, so let's say then you have this family. You are entertaining your children to death, and you're used to just everyone's got their phone, and we'll, you know, again, talk about technology tomorrow, but how do you teach even a family, even ourselves as adults, to entertain ourselves? How do you get to that point? I'm a parent. I'm totally clueless. My kid says, Mommy, what are we doing tonight? Because you do something every night. How do I even teach my child?
Play with
your Barbies.
I think the edge, you have a little edge here today, Ruthie, but I think the edge on your question is this possible? Can we even do this if we've gone a distance and not done it? And so the case in point I'm going to validate here is all the children's homes. We have 5 children's homes at Sheridan House. These kids arrive here at 12 and 13 years old. They arrive here having not done that. So we get 8 to 10 kids in each house who have been constantly busy to death and busy themselves right into some kind of trauma or problem.
Right.
And so they come with us. First of all, there is no television. There's a screen in there, but we rarely use it for TV. It's never on network television, ever. It might be to show a special DVD, but that's it. So there's other things we have to figure out to do as a family. So I think the first step in this process is I've got to first believe as a parent this is important enough to stop.
That means I have to do it as a parent.
I have to believe it's important enough to stop, and I have to be right in the middle of it. If we are going to say, we're not doing something on Thursday nights, or we're not signing up for another activity, we are done, mm-hmm. and we're going to spend this time together. Well, I've got to believe it, because if not, my kids won't cheer. And as parents, when our kids cheer, hey, we're doing that again. When our kids don't cheer, if we don't know why we're doing it, we'll never do that again. It's kind of like doing family devotions at the breakfast table. Your kids never cheer.
Right.
But you do it because it's right to read the Bible to my kids mm-hmm. and begin them in the process of that relationship, not only with God, but with their Bible. I've got to decide this really, really is important. So we're going to choose wisely, and we choose a night where we're just going to not be entertained. We're going to be the entertainment, and we've got to decide what we're going to do. And there's lots of different things to do. One of them is all of you make the meal together. One of you is after you make the meal together, all of you make cookies together and give the cookies away, eat the cookies. Another one is we're big on board games. We're very competitive in our house. And we realized early on we had one child that was not good at losing. And so, you know, the thought was, okay, maybe this is not good for this child to do. And we looked at each other and said, no, this is important for this child to do, because he, meaning Roby, is going to miss out mm-hmm. on competition. And he's incredibly competitive. And a loss was incredible for him when he was young.
So you had the crying tantrums,
oh,
too.
Oh, huh? Yeah. I mean, Dad, you're not trying hard enough and everything when it was guys against the girls. And, you know, I don't know that it's always wise to be guys against the girls. It always was, because the girls always won and I'd throw my whatever down.
Throw
on the
show
ground.
On.
It was hilarious.
Right.
But learning to have fun, that the fun is doing the activity. Do I like to win? I love to win. But the fun is the activity.
But teaching that. Like, guys, this is fun. And they're all mad because one is beating the other. And then they tried to do something. We had that scene in our own house with Monopoly. And Nathaniel put all of his eggs in one basket. Nobody landed on the property. He went berserk. And it was hilarious.
The number one thing is, am I having fun as the parent? As the leader, am I having fun? And do I have fun even when I'm losing, by making the children laugh, by throwing my little temper tantrum on the floor, lying out on the floor, facing into the floor? And they are dying laughing, and they're throwing things at me, and we're all dying laughing. The point is not the win. The win is we're doing something as a family, because we have decided you can't do everything. We need to come home and be a family.
Mm-hmm. But you have to enjoy that time as a parent.
I have to choose to enjoy that time. Do I live for those nights? Not exactly. I have to choose to live for those nights. I have to choose that I want to win my children back from busying themselves to death. I want to win my children back from everybody else on the planet having more input in the lives and brains of my children. I have to choose to say we can't do everything, but there are some important things we want to do. We want to be family, whether that's a family project, whether that's a family cook something together, family make hilarious, ridiculous dessert together, or a family play a game together, whatever it is. We have to choose as a family. We're going to have fun, and I've got to be the fun. The fun's got to be right here. And when the children are acting like they don't like it, I guarantee they do. How many times have the kids at Sheridan House, when we couldn't do the evening game, complained? Now, we never heard them say, I love this game, but me getting up and walking out and saying, we're doing that, and it's the first thing you ever hear, wow, I like this. Mm-hmm. I like this. Do it because it's right to do, but otherwise you're just a bunch of strangers who are going to all different activities and being picked up, and you are the transporter of the children choose to be family. You can't do everything.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we're going down this list of 30 imperatives of parenting. Today, covering number 10, that you can't do everything. If you missed any part of the program, you want to hear it again, search for other topics relating to this one or any other parenting topics. We've covered a lot of them, and they're online for free at parentingonpurpose.org. You can also sign up to get the programs automatically with the blog that comes with it. To find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries and the resources there, go to shfm.org. We hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue our list of the 30 imperatives of parenting on Parenting on Purpose.